18. Psalm 18. The name of the message is Seven Reasons to Love Christ. Now, there's a lot more reasons than seven. Actually, if you were to attempt to pen down all the reasons, I don't think you could ever finish. But I want to look in these three verses, we'll see seven reasons. Actually, in one verse, we'll see seven reasons to love Christ. Seven reasons to love Christ. Now, the psalm in the header in the psalm, it says this, to the chief musician, the psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So David penned this after the Lord had delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said this, and we'll look at the first three verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So the believer in Christ, we see in the first verse, the believer in Christ loves Christ. He loves God. He loves Him. There's no doubt. If a person doesn't love Christ or love God, he's not a believer. You know, you get folks out there that say, well, I believe in God and I'm a Christian. But they have no love for the Savior and they have no love for the King, for God the Father. They have no love at all for God. But God's people, they love the Lord. They love the Lord. And they love Him dearly. Here in our first verse of this text, the psalmist, after being delivered from the hands of his enemies, proclaims these wonderful words. And we're only going to look at these first three verses, but I'd encourage you to read the whole psalm in your time at home. To read the whole psalm. It's a beautiful psalm because it proclaims the sovereignty of God in all things. And it shows how David was delivered by the hand of the Lord, by God, who's an absolute sovereign. Absolutely. Brother Jay texted me the other day and asked me a question. And when I wrote you back, I said, well, I tell people I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. That usually settles things pretty fast. Because when I mean absolute, I mean absolute. Like He is in full control. There is not one thing that happens outside His will. Now, He's not the creator of evil. Not at all. He just has to lead men. And they just run headlong into destruction and do whatever they please. But there's nothing that happens outside His permissive will. Nothing. Nothing. He's God. He's supreme. He's a King. He's an absolute sovereign. And we bow before Him. And we praise Him. We love that. And here David sings. And remember, this is a song. David sings, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The love here spoken of, as I was looking into this, the love here spoken of is a hearty love in the Hebrew. It's a hearty love. It's a clinging affection, just as a child clings to their mother. And it's the same kind of love that a mother has for a child. It's an endearing and hearty love that comes deep from within. It's an intimate love. It's an intimate love of the deepest kind. And think of this. This is what our great God deserves, doesn't He? He's worthy of this, isn't He? He's worthy of our deepest affection. He is, because He's our God. And we'll see, as Paul said in the New Testament, He's our all in all. We'll see that as we go through these seven reasons to love Christ. John Trapp says this on the text. The Hebrew says, I will love thee dearly and entirely from the very, very heart root, from the bottom of my bowels. With like intention of affection, and bowels meant the stomach. It's a very heartfelt love, a very heartfelt affection. It's not put on. It springs from a redeemed heart. It springs from someone born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a tender-hearted love. And think of this, that the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, each have a claim upon the believer's love. They do. They do. Because they alone are worthy of our love. God alone is worthy of our love. He's worthy. And as I said, this love springs from a redeemed heart. Now, Lord in our text is translated again what we looked at before when we did the study on the great I Am, is the self-existent one. It's the self-existent one. He needs no one, nothing, no one adds anything to him. He's the self-existent one. He's God. He's Jehovah. And we've seen that many times in our studies through the Old Testament. He's the great I Am. And Christ himself proclaimed to be him, remember? In John chapter 8, he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. So here, David's saying to Christ, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my strength. The believer, this is the believer's cry. We're weak. We're weak. But he's strong. He's our strength. Our glorious God, our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the strength of my life. And I know every believer says the same thing. He's the strength of our life. He's the strength. And the psalmist here confesses, Christ is my strength, is being strong in the sense of being powerful. And he's powerful in salvation, isn't he? He's taken sin-sick sinners and redeemed us, purchased us, made us clean. What a great God. What power our God has. What power. And God is the strength of our life, isn't he? He's our hope. We looked at that in Colossians. How do we walk in this life? The same way we were saved. By faith. By faith in who? Christ. Christ. He's the strength of our life. He's all our hope. He's all our hope. Everything, we have everything in him. Nowhere else. Not in ourselves at all. But all in him. He's all our righteousness. He's all our sanctification. He alone is our redemption. We can't save ourselves, but he can redeem his people, and he does. And he did from our sins. So he alone is our strength. And when is he our strength also? He's our strength in trials and tribulations, in sickness and in health, right? He's our strength always, constantly. There's not a time when he isn't our strength, except when we're leaning on our own self sometimes, and then we just fall right in our face. No way. I know, I've done it many times. But oh, he's our strength, isn't he? He's our king. He's our king. God is the strength of our life. So let's preface this by saying, again, the list is endless why the believer should love Christ. These are just seven reasons, but the list is endless. The list is endless. So David here names seven reasons for loving Christ. Look at verse 2. The Lord is my rock. My rock. Here's number 1. The first reason to love Christ is because he's our rock. He's our rock. The Hebrew word here translated rock refers to a cleft in a cliff. A cleft in the cliff. In which one may hide from his enemies. And a lot of the commentators were saying David hid in these places from Saul and his men. They hid in different places, different caves, different places, different high points. So this speaks of how Jehovah hides us from the enemy, hides us from our enemies. And it also speaks of security. Security. Dwelling among the crags and mountains of Judah, again, David had escaped the hatred of Saul. And here he compares our God to such a place of concealment and security. There it is. He's our rock. He's our hiding place. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 32:2. Believers are often hidden in their God from strife of tongues, from other people, from our enemies, or from the fury of storm of tribulation and trials. He hides us. He hides us. The clefts of the rock of ages are safe abodes in what security the believer has in Christ. What a rock we have in Christ. Because the believer, this is why we sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Look at Isaiah 32:2. And a man, being Christ, shall be as a hiding place from the wind, Christ is the hiding place from the wind and the covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Christ is our rock. He's our rock. And we'll look at this later on, but He is the hiding place for us from God's wrath and justice. He is extinguished. And let us remember this. Propitiation means to extinguish. Let us remember this. I mentioned this on Wednesday, and as I was studying for it, it brought such joy to my heart. In Christ, the wrath and justice of God is extinguished against us. Extinguished. Satisfied. My, oh my, what peace the believer has. Now, we're still sinners, aren't we? But my, oh my, that should make us leap for joy. Oh my. So the second reason to love Christ, look in our text again. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. The Hebrew word here for fortress is translated a stronghold. The English definition for fortress is this: a military stronghold, a strongly fortified town fit for a large garrison, a heavily protected and impenetrable building. That's what Christ is. Oh, is this not a reason for us to love our King? He has us so sealed up, just like those who were in the ark were saved from the wrath that was falling on others all around them. They were safe in the ark. That's where we are in Christ. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my fortress. My fortress. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the believer's fortress. And now all in the fortress are kept safe. And all God's elect are kept safe in Christ. 1 Peter 1:5, if you want to write it down, says this: who are kept by the power of God. The believer's kept by the power of God. How? How is the believer kept by the power of God? They're in Christ. They're in the fortress. Oh my. My, oh my, oh my. What a great God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, right? The believer will continue to have faith. We know that from Colossians, our study in Colossians 2. Those who are in Christ continue in the faith. Those who aren't, they continue for a while and they just fall away. They just fall away. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And let us remember that it's because we're in Him that we're safe. We're not safe anywhere else. All those who were in the ark were safe, weren't they, from the wrath and justice of God. But all outside perished. It's such a picture, beloved. It's such a picture of we who are in Christ. And remember, when they went in the ark, it was the Lord who shut the door. It wasn't them. Oh my, what a picture again. That ark is such a picture of Christ. So again, in our text, let's look at the third reason to love Christ. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ is our rescuer and our Savior. Not only does our great God and King protect us when we're in times of trouble, but He delivers His people during times of trouble. He delivers us during times. He protects us and He delivers us during times of trouble. During the believer's hour of peril, the Lord is their deliverer. Now, David, during the time he was being hunted down, basically. But the Lord not only protected him through that, but He also delivered him from it. And that's what God does. That's what Christ does for us. What has He delivered us from? All our trials. All our tribulations. I'll tell you, beloved, you can look back. And I've sat and pondered a few times. And you start to think about the things you went through. And you think, how did I make it through that? Because God delivered you. Not only did He deliver you through the trial, but He delivered you out of it. And this gives us strength for future things that happen. It gives us strength. We have the strength to go on. No matter what comes. And sometimes it's really hard. But God will continue to deliver us. But also, what else has He delivered us from? What else? He came to save us, what? From our sins. Well, there. He delivered us from our sins. He delivered us from how many of our sins? Brother Jay, how many of your sins did He deliver you from? Amen, brother. All of them. Isn't it marvelous? All of them. It's wonderful. We've been delivered from our sins. Now, we still have the presence of sin, right? But the power is gone. It doesn't have the power over us it once had. But we have the presence. The penalty is gone. The penalty for all our sins is gone. We've been delivered from it. Oh, my. What a great God. What a great God. And, as I said earlier, we've been delivered from the wrath of God, the justice of God, the law of God. The law of God had a claim on every one of us. We've been delivered from it in Christ. Oh, it's marvelous. What a great salvation. This is why we proclaim. This is why we don't fiddle around with other needless things. We preach Christ. This is why we must preach Christ. What a great deliverance God has done for His people. And then, He's going to deliver us one day from this body of sin. And we're going to see Him face to face. Now, we have some dear brethren and sisters that are already there. Right? But one day, He'll deliver us from this body of sin. And we'll see our Savior. We'll see our Redeemer face to face. And not fill your heart with love. Oh, my. Now, look at further down in the Psalms. Further down in the Psalm, look at in this Psalm here, look at verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ear. So He heard. He heard, look at verse 46 to 48. None but God can deliver His people. None but God can deliver His people. Think of this. When almost captured, the Lord's people are rescued from the hand of the mighty. By who? By one mightier than them. Right? When we're going through things and people are persecuting us or whatever, and some of them may be mighty people, and we get delivered by one who's mightier than all of them. Satan had us captive by our sin, didn't he? We were delivered by one who's mightier than him. He's crushed at the cross. His power is being crushed. Our God rules supreme, and He always has. But, oh my, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Look at though here, 46 to 48. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. So He delivered him from his enemies and through the trials and the tribulations that he went through. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Do you notice David couldn't deliver himself? Amen. Lord delivers His people. He delivers His people. Let's look at the next reason to love Christ. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. So the next reason to love Christ is He is my strength, in whom I will trust. Now the word strength here is not the same strength word, Hebrew word that's used in verse 1. It's not. This one, the word in verse 1 means powerful or strong. This one means rock. He's our rock. He's our rock. This denotes Christ being our hiding place. Just like we saw in Isaiah. He's our hiding place. And our strength. A place to flee for refuge. That's sure. A place to flee for refuge. That's sure and that's safe. Sure and safe. He's sure and safe. He's sure and safe for sinner, isn't he? Oh my. So look again in our text here. Christ is our rock. We're looking at verse 31 to 36 of the Psalm we're in. Christ is our rock, the one whom we may trust for defense, the one who also Also, John brought a sermon out last year about we march under his banner. So he's our defense, and we also march forward under his banner, under our captain, under our general, under our king, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. Look at verse 31 to 36. And this was a reality for David, we see here. 31. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Now remember that word strength is translated rock. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Do you notice how it's God doing it all? It's God doing it all. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. See, he protects us. He's our strength. He's our rock. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation and thy right hand that holdeth me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Because if he didn't do that, we'd slip 1,000 times a day. Oh, but he keeps us. Remember, kept by the power of God. Remember 1 Peter? He keeps us, beloved. The God of the heathens may be rocks only in the sense that they're hewn out of stone in which no one should trust. But the God of the saints, the God of his elect, oh, he's a rock in whom we trust. In whom we trust. Deuteronomy says this, for their rock is not as our rock, speaking of the heathen idols. Even our enemies themselves being judges, our rock is king. He's king. Christ is the only one we trust for the salvation of our eternal souls. Isaiah says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It's only in him. It's only, and it's everlasting strength. It never stops. Never stops. Because why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is the strong and mighty one who's able to save. He's a covenant Savior, a Redeemer, and the surety of his people, whom the Father hath given him in eternity. Let's look at our next point. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. The word buckler is shield. And it's a small shield. Not denoting that our God is a small God, because he's not. But it's talking about light infantry would go into battle. Heavy infantry would go into battle with large shields that would pretty much cover their whole body. You see that with some of the Romans, the legionaries, they had the large shields. But light infantry would go in with small shields. Quick. Quick jabs, quick. They wore a lot less armor. They were faster. They were quicker. But this is what the Hebrews used too, a small buckler, a small shield. Look at verse 30 of our psalm we're in here. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. So he's a shield. He's a shield to all that trust in him. What a reason for us to love our King. He's our shield, right? And as I said earlier, he shielded us from the wrath and justice of God. That is what we deserve. But he shielded his people from that. What a great God. What a great King. He's our shield. He shielded us. And on Calvary's cross, he died before that wrath and justice and for his people. Look at verse 35 of Psalm 18. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, right? We have a shield of salvation. And thy right hand hath holden me up. Now there's the key right there. The right hand denotes power, remember? That's Christ. That's Christ. And thy gentleness hath made me great. None who have Christ for the shield shall ever suffer. Now let us have this burn into our hearts. Okay? None who have Christ as their shield will ever suffer condemnation. Why? Because our shield bore it all. He bore it all. He bore it all. None who have Christ as their shield will ever be defeated. Because what does verse 35 say? And thy right hand hath holden me up. The everlasting hand. Christ. You see why we must preach Christ? You see why? The only hope for this old sinner. Let's look at verse 2 and we'll see the sixth reason. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. So the sixth reason to love Christ is He's the horn of my salvation. The horn of my salvation. Now the horn to the animal is a means of defense, and it's also an instrument of power. It's defensive and it's an instrument of power. The strength lies in the horn. Hence the word word here used as elsewhere is to represent that to which we owe our protection and defense in danger. God is David's strength. He's David's defense. He's David's power. It's all God. It's all Him. And this is why David cries out. This is why he cries out, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Christ saves us with eternal and immutable power, beloved. And His salvation is just as eternal and immutable as He is. Remember that. His salvation is just as eternal and immutable as He is. Kept by the power of who? God. God. We are saved by the power of God, right? And we are kept by the power of God. And what does God's people say? Praise His mighty name. Praise His mighty. Doesn't it fill your heart with love and joy? He keeps His people. And He is all these things to us that we've looked at. And like I say, you know, the list is endless. The reasons why we are to love Christ and love God. Samuel says this, 2 Samuel 22, verse 2 and 3. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, Thou savest me from violence. So it wasn't only David who sang this. It's God's people who sing this. So let's look at our last point here. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He is my high tower. Oh, what a reason to love Christ. The Hebrew word here is defined as a high place. Refuge. I love that word. I must confess. I love the word refuge. Refuge. One of these days I'm going to preach on them cities of refuge. Oh my, what a picture. He's my refuge. So the Hebrew word here, though, is defined high place, refuge, secure height, retreat, a stronghold. And the Hebrew word here is translated defense 7 times. The same Hebrew word for high tower is translated 7 times defense in the Old Testament, refuge 5 times, and tower 3 times. So Christ is the believer's high tower. And this is what David... Remember, David's been delivered from the hand of Saul, who's been hunting him down like an animal. Right? And he's been delivered now. His heart is full of love and gratitude and praise to our great God. To our great God. Is it not so with the believer in Christ? So Christ is the believer's high tower. He's our refuge and defense. And what comfort and peace the sinner finds in Jesus Christ our Lord. What a refuge. What a refuge we have in Christ. What a refuge. We can't find refuge anywhere else, can we? We can't find refuge in ourselves. We can't find refuge in other people. We can't even find refuge in the church, denomination-wise. Or our refuge is in Christ. The church, always remember this, church too. The church is not the building, it's the people. The church is an ecclesia, it's called in the Greek. A called out assembly. Right? That's what the church is. This is just a building. It's a beautiful building we have, and I praise God we have it. But the church is you. The ecclesia is the people. A called out assembly. We're called out of the world by God. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And He is our refuge. He's the refuge of the ecclesia. He's the refuge of the called out assembly. And what a refuge we have in Christ. We have a refuge from the law and wrath and justice of God. And the sinner flees to Christ. And he's found a refuge like no other. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 6. I knew this was going to be a little longer. So, thank you for your patience. Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, high tower, remember, in the Hebrew, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, salvation in Christ is sure and steadfast, in which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now let's close with this. Look at verse 3 in our psalm. Look at verse 3 in our psalm, and we'll close with this. As a result of this love that David has, look at this. The psalmist concludes with this: I will call upon the Lord. And then he cites two worthy reasons for doing so. Who is worthy to be praised? He is the only one worthy of our praise. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He's the only one who's worthy, and we'll be saved from our enemies. What a great God we have in Christ. Praise His mighty name. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we've had. And we pray that You'd be with the rest of the day and in the messages today, that You'd be honored and gloried, and that the Holy Spirit would point us to Christ, and that we might grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Christ, not to boast in anything of us, because we have nothing to boast in, but, oh Lord, to magnify You, to love Thee more, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.